أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين، بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. We will twist the topic a little bit today and then continue later on. And that is, there is a haqiqat, a reality, and that is, that plays an important part in attracting the mercy and the rahmat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Now the prayers that we offer, these prayers can attract the mercy of Allah. But can every prayer do that? We have to look into this. Quran, it has about 103 ayat which talk about prayers. So prayers, we have divine prayers or the ilahi prayers, and we have prayers which are satanic prayers. So they might be looking like a prayer, but it's not a true prayer. Or we have prayers that are true and we have fake prayers, the look-alike of prayers. What is the difference in the two? The look-alike of the prayers or the fake prayers, they cannot attract the mercy of Allah, because that is the ultimate goal and the ultimate aim of prayers. This is what Quran says. Or if you see the ayah, says فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ, that who be upon the musalli. Musalli is someone who performs the prayers. Quran says that shame or who be upon those who offer prayers. The musallin is the plural of musalli. Doesn't say who be upon the salat. Salat, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Salat is good. Now if you see the components of this salat, the components of salat, all of them from takbir to the salam, all of them are components that have been sent by Allah to us through the prophets. Now the task that has been assigned to us is that we have to just put these components together, or it's a jigsaw puzzle that has been given to us and we have to make that puzzle, build it. And if we built it properly, it can attract the mercy of Allah. And if we don't build it properly, we cannot attract the mercy of Allah. That is the ultimate aim of prayers. Takbiratul Ihram, Surah, Suratul Hamd, Ruku, Sajda, Tashahud, Salam, everything has been sent by Allah. We have to make that prayer now. Or for example, to understand this in easier words, if someone gives us crayons, color pencils, paints, and a nice piece of paper, and they ask us to draw a beautiful picture, and then instead of drawing a beautiful picture of a beautiful person, we draw a monster. So that is something that is the performance or the output that we have done. The same thing is with prayers. The tools are there, the components are there, all the elements are there. We have to make that prayer properly. And if we make that, it will attract the mercy of Allah, Tabaraka wa ta'ala. Says, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ, woe be upon the performers of prayers. Why? هُمْ أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ, they are those who have used their skills, but they did not create that prayer properly, they did not make that prayer properly. Now from the material that Allah has given to them, they made an ugly picture. They made an ugly scene, which was not the aim, which was not the goal. Again, in one of these visions that were seen, this person says that I saw a beautiful person, very beautiful, elegant, but had horns on his head. I said to him that that beautiful face of yours, it looks horrible with those horns on the head. He says, الَّذِي أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ. Whatever Allah has created beautiful, has created wonderful. The horns that you see on this head are your creation. That is a result of your bad and faulty prayers. Now we have ahadith that say that someone who doesn't offer his prayers correctly with the right presence of mood and manner, without having Allah in his mind, without fear, without khushu, without fright, that person, does he not fear that he will be changed into a donkey? That is, because it is so bad, a person stands before Allah, offers his prayers, but he is wandering around. Now especially to the youth, to the youngsters, a lesson, and to us all a reminder, that this prayer that Allah has given to us, we have to take good care of it. The riwayat, they say that in a lifetime, for example, if we lived for 80 years, 100 years, may Allah bless us all a long and a prosperous life in the service of Islam and in servitude of Allah and His creation. The riwayat, they say that if in a lifetime someone offers just one or two correct prayers, as a result of those two prayers which were correct and Allah has accepted, He will accept all the prayers that were performed during the lifetime. So we have to try and do something that the prayers that we offer, at least one or two of them should be done correctly, properly, or as it should be done. So prayer, it is one of those great gifts of Allah, that when I put these components together, that is, may that be takbir, may that be suratul hamd, surah, ruku, sajda, tashahud, salam, it should be as such that each component of it is presentable before Allah. When I recite suratul hamd, it should be presentable before Allah. Now, components of prayers, it's just not restricted to the recitation, ruku, sajda and tashahud. Again, when it comes to standing before Allah, now the body which is standing before Him, we have to see if this body, the blood flowing in it, has that been grown from a haram consumption or not? Or the clothes that we are wearing for that salat for which we are standing before Allah, is that lawful? The place where this prayer is being offered, is that a lawful place? So all of these components, when you put them together, are the jigsaw puzzle that you have solved, that has to be presented in a way that Allah exists in each and every component of it. Or if you see Quran in Surah Al-Maryam says that فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاءُ الصَّلَاةِ وَاتَّبَعُ الشَّهَوَاتِ, that there came after them an evil generation. Why an evil generation? What did they do? Did they do something really bad? Quran says the bad performance of that generation was that they neglected prayers. أَضَاءُ الصَّلَاةِ وَاتَّبَعُ الشَّهَوَاتِ. They neglected prayers and followed their desires. As a result of that, Allah says for them is a severe punishment. So this prayer, all of the elements are pure. Each element of that is pure, sent through Allah who is all pure. And again, shocking reports we find regarding that on the day of judgment, these prayers, when they will be presented before Allah, some of these prayers will be declined from phase one. Some prayers will elevate to phase two and then they will be declined from there. Some will reach the top point and then they will be sent back. Say, some of these prayers, they will be as such that they will elevate and swiftly they will get to Allah. They are those prayers that were put together, the elements, the components were put together as Allah wanted them to be put together. That is, sincerity, khulus, khushu, existed in every part of it. We have to try and do something that this prayer that Allah has said, which is for our own benefit, which is for our own perfection, it has to be conducted in a way that it seeks the pleasure of Allah and it attracts the mercy of Allah, Tabaraka wa ta'ala. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam in Nahj al-Balagha says, as there are verses in Quran as well, says that the angels that Allah has created, some of them are in ruku all the time. Minhum rukkan la yasjudun. And there are angels that are constantly in sajda all the time. Sujjadun la yarkaun. So they are among those creations of Allah who are bound to be in that state of sajda, in the state of ruku at all times. But sometimes we find that man, he comes to the rank and his prayers are more than the prayers that are done and performed and conducted by the angels. And when this prayer, which has attracted the mercy of Allah, ascends on the Day of Judgment and gets to Allah, Imam says over there that Allah will address the angels and say that, were you not the ones who objected when I created Adam? And you said he's going to be someone who will oppress on the land, who will do zulm and tyranny on the land. Says, look at the prayers performed by this human being that Allah is proud of. He boasts of these prayers. So, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ Woe be upon the musalleen, not the salat. Salat is all good. Musalleen are the persons who perform the prayers. And the prayers, if they are faulty, they will be thrown onto our faces. Or if you see the wasiyat of our sixth imam, when he is giving away his life, he opens his eyes for a moment and says that, لَا تَنَالُوا شَفَاعَتُنَا مُسْتَخِفًا بِالصَّلَاةِ, that our shafa'at, our mediation, will never be granted to someone who takes prayers easily. Especially to the youngsters, that we have to try and do something that we take good care of these prayers. When it's time for prayers, don't be in a rush, don't be in a hurry. Take your time, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, not more than that. But do a service good, perfect, that Allah accepts it. And as it was mentioned, that if we make it a habit that we perform our prayers in the right way, at the right time, in the right place, in the right mood, it will definitely attract the mercy of Allah, and gradually when it becomes a habit, it becomes part and part of our existence, one of those prayers definitely will be accepted by Allah. And the reports, they say that if one of those prayers during the lifetime of a person, if it's accepted, all of the prayers, although they are faulty, they will all be compensated, and the result and the benefit of that one prayer, it will be accepted by Allah. Or elsewhere in Surah Al-Mu'minun, the first ayah says that قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ Mu'minun, they are prosperous. The faithful, the believers, they are prosperous. The first quality mentioned over there is that الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ They are those who are frightful in their prayers. They fear Allah in their prayers. That's the first quality which they possess. Or they are steadfast in their prayers. Or they are worthy of their prayers. They don't waste their prayers. By God, if haram consumption is there in our livelihood, that will never make our prayers elevate. Never. With a haram stomach, the prayer never elevates. With a haram livelihood, a person never gets that khushu, that fright, that fear, that presence of mind in his prayer. It cannot. Why? Simple. Prayer, it's all pure. Haram, it's all impure. Attracting the mercy of Allah, it's all pure. Purity attracts the mercy of Allah, which is purity itself. If you have something which is impure, it will never ascend, but it will bring it down, it will descend. Quran says that when it talks about aghlal, aghlal means chains, burden. Burden never ascends, burden brings it down. So, for khushu, for having these prayers accepted before Allah, purity has to exist in every part of our life, everywhere. Or, we cannot say that if we have these elements of prayers that are sent by Allah to us, that be takbir, then suratul ham, surah, ruku, sajda, all these recitals of prayer, if you put them on a piece of paper, it will be just a few lines. So if you write them in a beautiful font on a lovely, expensive paper, that's not worth at all. This prayer has to be written with a font, and that font is khushu. That font is sincerity. That font is the love of Allah. That font is the sincerity of Allah and to being in His service. With that font, when it is written, that is the best and Allah accepts. Among the prayers throughout the day, most of the importance is given to the morning prayers. وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا. Quran says that heap up prayers from the declining of the sun till the darkness of the night and the morning recitations of Quran and Fajr. Inna Quran and Fajr kana mashhura. So much of importance has been given to the morning prayers that much of importance hasn't been given to Zohr, nor to Asr, nor to Maghrib, nor to Isha. Just a two rakat prayer. And everything can be sought in those two rak'at prayers in the morning. If you see the seerah of the pious, or we could say that what the exclusive prayers performed by the exclusive human beings, or the elite mu'mineen, or the high class mu'mineen, it's amazing. Among these personalities is Akhund Kashi, who lived in Isfahan, and the prayers which he offered for 60 years throughout his lifetime in that madrasa, they are amazing. One of these, as his ashab say, that I went into the madrasa and I saw as if every brick of that madrasa, every brick of that school, every wall, every door, every leaf, every tree, as if everything present in that madrasa was saying, Subbuhun Quddusun Rabbuna wa Rabbul Malaikatu wa Ruh. Subbuhun Quddusun means that all glory and all purity belongs to Allah, who is the Lord of the angels and the Lord of the spirit. He says that I was shocked to hear this recital, this voice being uttered by everything, and I fainted. And when I woke up and followed that recital, Subbuhun Quddusun Rabbul Malaikatu Warruh, I came to the room and I saw this shaykh in sajda reciting Subbuhun Quddusun with such sincerity, with such a pure heart, that the entire existence of Allah was reciting with him that zikr. So we don't want to say that we have to do these prayers like him. Just to get a gloomy picture of these top-notch or the high-class mu'mineen, how their prayers were. Or it is said that when he offered his prayers and he had done with his prayers, he had to change his clothes, as he wept so much in his prayers that his clothes, his shirt got wet. Now, I have seen in Qom the prayers performed by Marhum Ayatullah Rizma Araki, the prayers offered by Marhum Ayatullah Rizma Bahjat. Now these are the prayers performed by exclusive mu'mineen or the elite class mu'mineen, and when we compare their prayers to ours, it's a total, we cannot compare it at all. Now when you compare them with Amirul Mu'mineen, how his prayers would have been. There is a hadith wherein a person comes, or Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam comes to the presence of the fourth Imam, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, and says that so much of worship you have done, so much of prayers you have offered, that it's enough now. He says, go and get the file from that shelf. And when that file is brought, he says, read it. And then he comes to a point where the prayers of Amirul Mu'mineen were mentioned in that book. And he says that prayers performed by Imam Sajjad, who got the title of Sayyidul Sajjadin, Zainul Abideen, they compared to the prayers of Amirul Mu'mineen, well, little. So what worship he had done, now that is not wanted from us. That is not asked from us. This is just to get an idea of the prayers that we are performing, the prayers we are reciting. Just compare them with those prayers. And we have to make it a habit that out of these five times prayers which we offer, at least give some extra importance to one of these prayers. For example, the morning prayers, which are the shortest, just two rakat. Marhum Ayatullah Rizma Guru Jardi, among the great Maraja-e-Taqleed of the 60s and the 70s, and as it was mentioned, he was the only Maraja-e-Taqleed, and the Shia world worldwide was in his Taqleed. His prayers were lengthy. A century old man, and every prayer of his, the recitals were not like ours, three subhanallahs or just one subhanarabbi al-azim. Every prayer, every ruku, every sajda, even at this age of 100, he says subhanarabbi al-a'la wa bihamdih seven times in sajda. Subhanarabbi al-azim wa bihamdih seven times in ruku. And the days when he couldn't attend the jama'at prayers in the haram of Hazrat Ma'asuma alayhi salam, the Khadim says that he used to lock himself in the room, and the room was shut for at least 1 hour, and he recited his Zohar and Asr prayers. And when he opened the room, he had to change his clothes. It was all soaked wet because of that excessive crying and weeping which he had. Now we have to do something, that we have to fix our prayers, and we have to impose upon ourselves certain things. Now as we, those who are losing weight, for example, they say, I can't eat more than those number of calories every day. And if I do, that exercise has to be done. Or that I have to cut down in sugar, I cut down in fat, so on and so forth, all that stuff. So they impose upon themselves so many things so that the target is achieved. We have to impose upon ourselves something so that we also achieve a target. For example, the morning prayers. Do them on time. Now all this lesson to myself first. And do it in a way that the presence of our heart and our soul, it's maximum. Now during the day, because of the busy schedule, running, driving, Zohar may be tough, Maghrib and Isha may be tough. But morning definitely for everyone, or the most of the people present over here, or most of the mu'mineen everywhere, it will be easy. It's just a two-rakat prayer. And if we impose upon ourselves that the ruku should be a lengthy ruku, and if we, for example, miss out reciting seven subhana rabbi al-azimi wa bihamdih, well, we make it up in the second ruku. We do 14 in the second ruku. So we have to impose such things upon us so that we elevate and lift the quality of the prayers that we are performing. Otherwise, just subhanallah, 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 it's, we've done the job. But the aim and the target is that we do something that a prayer of ours attracts the mercy of Allah. And once in a while, you will feel for yourselves that out of those hundreds of prayers that you have offered, one of them hits your own heart. You feel relaxed after it. that relaxing or feeling happy or that sensation is that the prayer was good. We can judge for ourselves, for our own prayer. So people, they used to come and object and say that at this old age, it's tough for you, these prayers are not required, and also the Jama'at, thousands of people who come in your prayers in Zohar and Maghrib, there are old men, old people in them. So at least for the sake of them, you cut down on your prayers. But still he continued until the end of his life. That's that love, that is that devotion, that bond which a person has to Allah. And the more this bond increases, the more the love also increases. And the first thing which affects a person's performance are the prayers. But in such cases, the first thing that is hit is the prayers. That the prayers elevate. The prayers have to be good. And as a result of that, the likelihood of a person evolves. Coming back to our topic, and that is the associates of Imam al-Asif, Ajjalallahu ta'ala, Farajahu al-Sharif. Now, it was mentioned in the last few days that the preparations and the preparers of the zuhur of Imam al-Asif are us. The reason for him going into ghaibat and occultation are us. The reason for the delay of the return of the Imam, again, that's us. So everything turns back to us. Because Allah, He has created the Imam, and the ruling is that Imam has to be present so that everyone benefits from him. The reason why he's away, it's the bad performance of our ancestors, as a result of which Allah took him away. Now this phenomena of zuhur, or the return, or the arrival of the Imam, it is a phenomena which is not as such that we could say, for example, if we plead and cry and ask Allah that this day that we have, it's 15 hours a day, God, do something that this 15 hours reduces to, for example, 7 hours. No, it won't. No matter how much we cry, no matter how many times we recite Amma Yujib, these 15 hours will be 15 hours. It will not reduce to 7 hours. The same thing is with this phenomena of zuhur of the Imam. This phenomena can be completed only when there are a certain amount of people, a certain number of people who can help the Imam. Just by pleading, just by praying, it will be of no use, although it helps. But the main criteria is associates, friends, servants to serve the Imam. And when those servants are available, only then will the Imam come. If you see the history, look back into history, Bani Riwayat also are there, which talk on this issue, which say that Bani Israel, they were afflicted by Fir'aun, lots of problems. And then, as a result of the pleading and crying of Bani Israel, the birth of Musa was hastened. He was to be born 70 or 40 years or 400 years, some riwayat say, after that. As a result of that pain which existed in Bani Israel, or that excessive crying of Bani Israel, his birth was hastened by 4 centuries, or some riwayat say, by 7 decades. So he was born. And then, how was the performance of the people? How did they end up? Did they remain with Prophet Musa or did they not? The same thing is with the Imam. So Allah doesn't want that history to repeat, so that they pray, he comes back, and there is no one to serve, and then he is killed. For that not to repeat, the services, the servants have to be there, or the associates have to be there, so that they welcome, he comes, they serve, and he provides his mercy and rahmat upon them. This is something which we read in Dua Nutbah again. Say that مَتَى نَنْتَقِعُ مِنْ عَدْبِ مَائِكَ فَقَدْ طَالَ الصَّلَى. That when will the Imam return? And as it was mentioned yesterday and day before yesterday, we have to feel the pain that the absence of Imam is something which is really and truly hurting us. And unless we have that pain, we cannot cry, we cannot plead. And the riwayat, they are shocking. They say that it's not just a sensation that we have to have in our heart, just a crying. It says that you have to yell and call and cry so much for the Imam. For example, there is a report says that إِذْ نَادَ مُنَادٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِنَّ الْحَقَّ فِي آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ فَعِنْدَ ذَلِكَ يَظْهَرُ الْمَهْدِي عَلَىٰ أَقْوَاهِ النَّاسِ. That there will be a call from the skies that the right is with Ali Muhammad, and at that time Imam will arrive. Now, arrival of Imam, first of all, it will be with the word of mouth, that everyone will know the name and fame of Imam will be evident everywhere. So that is the minor arrival of the Imam, and then after that will be the major arrival of the Imam. Now this presence, as it was mentioned yesterday, that Imam, he is an occultation. That is, we cannot benefit totally from him. Zuhur, that is the return of the Imam, is that when he will return and his appearance or then his presence will be evident upon everyone globally in the entire creation of Allah. But even today, there are people who have sought access to their Imam, and for them Imam is present. Imam is present for them. They see them, they see him, they have access to him. But when we talk about the return and the arrival of the Imam, it is that arrival which is going to be for everyone and available to everyone. Our fifth Imam, he says that وَإِنْ أَصْبَحْتُمْ يَوْمًا لَا تَرَوْنَ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا فَاسْتَغِيثُ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. That if you wake up and you don't find your Imam is there, cry, weep, yell and cry. So that pain has to be in us. And if we look into again the ashab or the friends of Imam, among them is marhum Imam Quli Turk. He is among those people who benefits the presence of the Imam. Now once he comes and says to Imam Al-Asr, Imam, if your return is going to be late, do something that I die. I can't live without you. And then Imam informs him on the 15th of Ramadan, next year you will die. He says to his associates, to his friends, happily, that I'm going to die on the 15th of Ramadan next year, as a glad tiding. Why? He says, I cannot live without the Imam. This is what is mentioned in that hadith, that if we wake up and we find the Imam is not around us, we have to weep, we have to cry. Dua nutba is the dua of lamenting, crying, weeping. That we have to cry for the Imam, that why is he away from us? Because the presence of. And again, if you see Dua Kumay, reported by our master Amir al-Mu'mineen, then he says that the worst punishment for a person is to be deprived from the loved one. Jahannam, the hell that we have, it's of different stages. We have Jahannam, which is the Jahannam of A'mal, wherein, like these forced air conditions we have in that Jahannam of A'mal, the forced air is from the outside of that hell. That is, that heat that comes into that hell, it's from outside. We have a Jahannam, which is the Jahannam of Sifat, the attributes, the qualities, and therein the forced air, it's from inside the Jahannam itself. And there is another Jahannam, or that is the lowest part of that Jahannam, and that is, or the worst punishment that will be seen over there, that is the Jahannam of Faraq, Jahannam of separation. And the same thing is with reference to the highest levels in the paradise is liqa, is meeting. The lowest is Faraq. Firaq means there's going to be a total separation, a total segregation, and that is seen in Dua Kumayn. Sabartu ala adabi. Amir al-Mu'mineen says that if you were to punish me, I'll be patient. Ala azabi, on that azab which you will give me, on that chastisement of yours. فَكَيْفَ أَصْبِرُ عَلَىٰ فِرَاقِكَ. But how can I be patient on that separation from you? Now to understand this, if a mother wants to be tough on his child, on her child, she won't beat him up. She won't tell him off. She says, I'm not going to speak to you anymore. Now the child, he gets so much hurt that he comes to the mother every now and then, kisses her, hugs her, for the mother to have that kind look back on that child. The same thing can be seen among friends. When they break from each other, the other friend, he gives away whatever he has to that friend just to get that kind look back. Imam says that if you were to punish me, okay, I'll be patient. But if you were to be away from me, if that separation is going to be there, if that firaq is going to be there between me and you, then how can I survive? How can I be patient? And then says, وَحَبْنِي يَا إِلَهِ سَبَرْتُ عَلَىٰ نَارِكَ فَكَيْفُ كَيْفُ أَسْجِلُ عَنِ النَّظَرِ إِلَىٰ كَرَامَتِكَ. How can I be patient if you are not to look at me? So being looked upon by someone like Allah or someone of a higher authority, it's a great grace, it's a great blessing. So, being deprived from them, again, it's a big azab. So the first step, as it was mentioned, is that we have to have the pain that being deprived from the imam, being away from the imam, it's tough. The second is that we want the imam for the imam himself, not that we want the imam for us. That is, we try and do something that we relieve the imam from certain tasks. If he has 100 kilograms of burden on him, we take a few grams on ourselves. Not that we increase a little bit more on him. People, they used to come to Amir al-Mu'mineen and we used to claim that. And in reply he said that, إِنِّي أُرِيدُكُمْ لِلَّهِ, that I want you all for Allah, but you want me for yourselves. So we have to correct that. That if we do, now it is good that we come to Imam, to him, we approach him for everything, but we have to give a spiritual look to it. That for example, if I am to pass my exams, Imam, if that is the case, I can be a better servant to you with a better qualification. Or if you were to give me a better position, a better job, more money, I can serve you better with those. So just give a little spiritual twist to it, that whatever, if we do want anything from the Imam, to be a better servant, to serve him better, to be better in his service. Malik Ashtar, among the Ashab of our Amir al-Mu'mineen, he loved the Imam so much. When we say love is not the love which we see in the markets today. That's not love at all. They say that we love you so much, and if we don't get together, there's this depression and then this suicide and all that. That's not love, that's trash. Love which we talk about, it's that reducing the distance between man and God, that is love. Or when Malik Ashtar, he has that devotion and love to Amir al-Mu'mineen, doesn't mean that Imam, you stand there, I'll just look at your charm and then I'll get happy. No. Love means that I want to reduce the burden on you, and may that be miles away from the Imam, still that devotion and bond is with the Imam. And many a times there were people close by the Imam, with the Imam and the Prophet, but miles away. By the grace of Allah, Mu'mineen, of the end of time, as mentioned by Rasulullah, although they are miles away, centuries away, still, he says they are close to us. That is a benefit that has been given to us. Associates of the Imam, friends of the Imam. There is a mosque in Isfahan known as Masjid Hujjat al-Islam. Those who are from Isfahan, they must be knowing it. Now this mosque was built after Sayyid al-Shafi, among the great personalities who lived in the last century. And it so happens that now he is among the great people, great ulama of Isfahan, and one day, once he sets off for Hajj. And in those days, journeys to Hajj were not just a straight return ticket to Jeddah. It had Iraq, it had Sham, all these ziyarat were there, and ultimately they ended up in Hajj, and again, a return which took about 5-6 months. And being there were no electronic payments, cards, etc., so they took that money physically with them for the entire duration of journey. Now, because he was a good person, a trustworthy person, they come, the entire group, they give the money to him, keep it with you, when we are in need, we take it from him. He accepts, and everything was put in a box, in a safe, and they start the journey. They come to Najaf, and when he comes and just wants to see if everything is safe, sees that the safe is broken, and nothing is present over there, everything has been stolen away. He cries, says that my fame is at stake, my honor, my dignity is at risk. Runs straight to Masjid al-Sahla, Imam, I want you to help me. And there he meets the Imam. Now, Imam says, don't worry. Says, halu, 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 3 times. Now, halu in that time was a title given to someone who carries loads, carries in the market. And again, it says that after a few seconds, I saw this person who used to be in Isfahan, who carried loads for people like rice, like wheat, etc., from home to market. He comes to the presence of the Imam and he's shocked that how come this person who we knew in Isfahan, 2,000 miles away from here, he comes so quickly to the presence of the Imam. Sayyid, he objects and says that why did you let the Imam call you 3 times? The first time he called you, you must have been here. He said, the first time Imam called me, I said labbaik. The second and the third one, I was on my way. Just a few seconds and he was there. And then he says, you go back home, I'll meet you in the afternoon. Comes back with all that was stolen and that was lost. And he is amazed over here that how come this person who was in the market taking, carrying loads for people has arrived to this huge, great rank, being an associate and a friend of Imam. And then he says that I'll take you on the 9th of Dhul-Hajjah to the 10th of the Imam so that you can meet him. And as promised, he comes and takes him to the 10th of the Imam. And then the Sayyid just cries and cries all day. And then he returns to Isfahan. Now being an important person and has come back from Hajj, everyone comes to meet him. And among these people who come to meet him is this Halu, is this person who carries this load in the markets for the people. And now the Sayyid knows who this person is. He wants to give a little more respect than any other person. He comes straight and says in his ears, we should continue as we were. You are that same person and I am that same Hammal, that same person who carries the load. There should be no difference now in our attitude, in our performance. He says, I get happy that I've got someone who can be a friend, who I can rely on, and someone who is trusted by the Imam of time. And says, once that Hammal, that Halu, he comes to him, he's happy. He says, I've got a task, if you could help me out. He says, yes, what can I do for you? Anything. Says, 3 hours from now, I will die. And I want you to carry out all my funeral services. And shows him where he is to be buried, his grave as well. And then he says, tell me, how come you came so close to the Imam? He doesn't say a word. The only sentence he says is, 3 hours from now, I will die. And that this is dunya. Whatever you see is whatever you see. When he goes 3 hours after that to him, he sees that he has passed away. And in his funeral, all of these hammals, all these laborers in the markets, they all come to join his funeral. Now the Sayyid, he pleads and cries and says that all this time, we were halu. Halu over here means we were dumb, that we did not recognize and we did not know who this great personality was. So we have to be careful, and it was mentioned, I believe, that never underestimate three things. One, a person, never underestimate him. An action, may that be mustahab or may that be makruh, never underestimate it. Because it might be as such that person who we want to underestimate or we want to make mockery of may be a waliyullah. Or this mustahab or that makruh, we are underestimating it and not performing it, or performing that makruh, may that, it might be one of those things which in which Allah's pleasure is hidden. We don't know. So we have to try and do something that these things should be observed throughout our life. Prayer, it was mentioned, is among those great blessings of Allah that has been blessed and bestowed upon us, which can attract the mercy of Allah Jalla Wa'ala. And the same thing again with the presence of the Imam of time. Whatever we have today is from the Imam. Or as it is said that Imruz Amirul Umara Juz tu kasinis barnalay dil ghayr tu faryad rasinis dar ka'be wo butkhane wa dar dair o kilisa juz naghme nafus tu bange jarasinis ay mahdi din parde ze rukhsar barakan ma gum shudegani murah pish fasinis. There is no way out. The only way forward, it's with the Imam. Among the beauties of the Day of Ashura and the performance of the associates of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, prayer plays an important part. For example, when the caravan of Aba Abdullah arrives to Karbala, there is a meeting with Hur. Now Hur is someone who is on the enemy's side, someone deep down in the hellfire. The first meeting with Hur, and he is with his 1,000 men, and Aba Abdullah with his 70 odd associates. And it is, they have a debate, they have a conversation. And then it is time for prayer. And Imam says that, let's say our prayers and we'll continue after the prayers. And says that me with my 70 men, we'll say our prayers here. You with your 1,000 men, you can say your prayers at that time. Hur says, Yabna Rasulullah, if you are to lead your prayers, I will never lead my prayers with my people. Prayers without you, incomplete. Although he is the enemy, on the enemy's side. But the attitude and the performance of Hur is such that he joins the Imam with his prayers. And if this message was given to the Malayin, to Umar Isaac, to Yazid, that was sufficient for Hur to be beheaded. But that courage of Hur, the love which he has for Aba Abdullah deep down in his heart, the respect, binds him to offer his prayers behind the Imam. And again, this is the first instance or the first blow which comes into his life. After the prayers, there is a hot debate between Aba Abdullah and Hur. And Aba Abdullah, when he's enraged, he says to Hur, Sakalatka ummuk, that is, may your mother cry on you, that is, may you die, and your mother weep on you. In reply, Hur says that, you said that to me, to my mother, but I can't say that to you. Because your mother is Zahra. Sayyidatun Nisa'il Alameen. That attitude of Hur, that adab of Hur in prayers, that adab of Hur before Aba Abdullah, and the respect he has to his mother. Now these two things, they instigated and they elevated, and just a little bit of movement on the day of Ashura when he is ashamed. And then his men come and say, Hur, you are the strongest, and you have said that, who is the strongest man of Kufa? You would have said that it's Hur, there's no one apart from you. And why do we see you so much restless, so much in shame, so much disturbed? He says that I find myself between the hell and the heaven. If I continue with Yazid, it's the hell for sure. And if I join Aba Abdullah, it's the heaven for sure. I don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, he, with his horse, he gallops towards the tents of the Imam, ashamed with his head down, bowed down. And Imam says, get down for it. He says, I'm ashamed. It was me who started everything. Now everything which befall upon you, which unfolded upon you on this, and which has come to this day of Ashura, I was the means for that. Is there any way for me to be repentant, for me to be forgiven? Imam says, yes, the doors of mercy are always open, and Imam is all mercy. Rahmatul lil alameen. Says, get down. He says, I am better if I am on a horse and I can serve you better. And says that, allow me to fight for you and be the first one to give away my life. So that way I will feel a bit relaxed that I have, my repentance has been accepted. Now someone who has come to the doorstep of the paradise, he seeks salvation. And again, if you look into history from the time of Shah Abbas Safavi, among the great kings of Iran, when he goes to the ziyarat of Karbala, he pays a visit to Karbala. Now his soldiers say that we have Hur, another Sahabi and associate of Imam, let's go and pay a ziyarat over there as well. He says, no, I won't. Because if he was among the associates of the Imam, then why is he buried so far away? When the Imam and all his ashab, they are over here. He was among the men of Yazid and he died with them. They say, no, that was not the case. He repented. Now this is something which unfolds 600-700 years ago. And then he says that, Quran says that, never think, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. That never think that shuhada, they are dead, they are alive, even today. And from Allah, their rizq, their sustenance is provided. That is, the word of Allah says, I will exhume his grave. And if I find him in the grave, I will make a shrine, a haram there. And if I don't, I will never go to say a ziyarat and a visitation to him. They exhume, they open the grave, and they find the body as if it has been laid to rest just now. Now this is 600-700 years after Karbala, and in those extreme temperatures of that place, the body, they see a handkerchief which is tied onto the head of Hur. Now when he got wounded, Imam, he ties this handkerchief which was wounded by his mother Zahra onto the head of Hur. He says, I'll take that and I'll keep it with me as a token of blessing, so that in all these wars that I fight, I win and victory is ours. The moment he takes it out, the head starts bleeding. They try to wrap it with everything that was over there, it won't stop. Something that was given to him by Aba Abdullah must return to him. A thread from that handkerchief he takes and keeps it with him as a token of blessing and tabarruk with him. Hur, this great personality, he gives away his life, arrives to a rank wherein the ma'sumeen, they say that may our parents be sacrificed to you, Hur. Someone who has come to the Imam, who has sought refuge with the Imam, he finds salvation and is remembered like that. One after the other, everyone passes away. But when it comes to the time of Imam, there is no one, no helper, no supporter. Now the strategy of Karbala, it starts with two farewells and two arrivals. A farewell from Medina and an arrival in Karbala. and a departure from Karbala and again a return to Medina. And these returns and this journey is a journey full of pain. And the toughest part is when Abdullah comes to the tents and says farewell. And now this time there is no one to be with the Imam. And Imam comes to that point, collapses, dies, and there is no one with him.
Ranne kehti thi rokar sakina zibha hote hai shahe madina gham se hota hai shaq mera seena zibha hote hai shahe madina ek bekas pe laakhon ka narghaa chur zakhmon se hai tan zara zindagi ka nahi ab kareena zibha hote hai shahe madina marte dam bhi na pa دل میں ظالم کے تھا کیسا کینا ذبح ہوتے ہیں شاہِ مدینہ لٹ گیا کوئی باقی نہیں پنج تن میں ہے یہ کیسا غضب کا مہینہ ذبح ہوتے ہیں شاہ مدینہ رکھ کے خنجر پھرا گلی پر ہو گئے سخت بے چین سرور جب کا ہر موئے پن سے بسی ہوتے ہیں شاہ مدینہ بولی زہرا نبی سے یہ رو کر دیکھوں آنکھوں سے اپنی میں کیوں کر زیرِ زانو ہے بیٹے کا سینہ ذبح ہوتی ہے شاہ مدینہ.
الا لعنة اللہ علی القوم الظالمین وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمن وجب له حق علينا ولمن وصانا بالدعاء ولجميع أمة محمد وآل محمد. ما تنسين.